be seated, and the children are dismissed to Children's Church. Today we're going to be continuing in the Gospel of Matthew, but kind of transitioning. It's kind of a series within the series. We'll be continuing in Matthew, but looking specifically at how Jesus sent out the apostles and then sent out the disciples to do the work that he himself had been doing. And really kind of focusing on how we join him. How do we join Christ in the work that he wants to do today? So if you want to turn to Matthew, we're in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. This was our call to worship today. You know, as we start today, I want to ask you, what are you passionate about? What are the things that when you talk about it, people would know, yeah, this is something they really are passionate about. They're excited when they talk about this. You know, I look at my own interests, and I can kind of tell at times when I talk to Jana, if I go on about technology or fly fishing, she kind of gets that glassy-eyed look like, she's trying to be polite, but just doesn't get it. Doesn't share my passion for those things. I remember, if any of you have talked to her about mattresses, she worked at a mattress factory in Pittsburgh for a number of years. She's passionate about what a good mattress is about. I don't get it. I'm just like, I believe her, but I'm not something I'm passionate about. But you know, every one of us have interests. We have things that we're passionate about, things that we get excited about. But, you know, as I think about how God wants to use us to bless others, I realize God wants to use those passions and direct those passions in our lives to not only grow closer to him, but that he might use us to be a blessing to others. Too often, I think, in the church, we try to just quench the idea of passion, that it doesn't have, and some of you may have been in part of churches at times where you think there was just no passion in anything that we experience. And the reality is Christ wants us to be passionate. He wants us to have a passionate desire for him. And I believe he wants us to have a passionate desire for people that don't yet know him. And that God wants to use us to be a blessing to other people. And so today, as I was thinking about the things that I'm passionate about, going a little deeper than fly fishing or technology for me, you know, I think about my time for 10 years serving as a fire chaplain. If I see something on the news that relates to fire service, my ears perk up. Because I connect with them, and I understand the struggles, not only the firemen, but I the struggles of other first responders who experience the stress of some of the situations that they walk in. I mean, they see things that no one's really designed to ever see, and they often see it repetitively. And so if I hear anything in the news or on Facebook of an incident that I know that some of my firemen friends or police friends are involved, my heart's engaged. Because I understand, and I realize that the reason that when I first started in that ministry, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had some guidance with some other pastor friends that had done similar chaplaincy work. And you know, I remember looking back and thinking, comparing where I was when I started to where I was when I finished serving as their chaplain, I realized that I had grown in my passion. For those in first responders and those especially in the fire service, because I grew in my understanding of what they experienced. And as I became more aware of the challenges that they faced, it's something that I became more passionate about because I understood and I connected. And I actually had experienced a little bit of that stress of being in a difficult situation, emergency scene, and having my own heart impacted. In dealing and trying to care for those that were struggling with the loss of life. You know, as I look at that, I think of other people. Some of you may have a passion, and God may want to use those passions to let you be a blessing to other people. Some of you may have a passion for single parents. You know, the few times that I've had the kids by myself for even a few days, my passion for single parents and my sympathy and just understanding the challenges they face grow. And I just want to I want to pray for my friends that are raising their kids by themselves. And so some of you have that heart. You have a heart for the single father, the single mother, who is just facing the challenges of life, and you want to come alongside with them because you're passionate for it. I watch Kathy, and sorry, I normally pick on Jim, so I'll pick on Kathy here. Kathy, working at the Cancer Center, in my observation, that's more than a job to you. You're passionate about caring for people that are struggling and facing the issue of cancer and that challenge. And some of you, I know you know where that is, that place that connects your heart and your passion for how God wants to use you. And if you're not there yet, I want to encourage you today, as we reflect on what it means to have compassion for people, specifically those that have not yet entered into a relationship with Christ, I want to encourage you to listen to your heart, listen to God, but also listen to your heart, and where does God want to take your passion and the compassion you might already have for people, and use that to make an impact for Christ. Today we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage to many of you. It's the harvest passage, and where Jesus is talking about the harvest field being the people that are so ready to respond to Christ and the invitation of salvation and walking with Him. They're so ready that Jesus describes it as a harvest field that is ripe for harvest, but there aren't enough workers to go out and to bring all the wheat or whatever the harvest is in. Today we're going to look at this passage, and I want us to really just do some soul searching in our own heart and our own life and ask you, what moves you? What moves us? And have we allowed God to increase our passion for Christ? And are we giving God the opportunity to increase our passion for people that are lost, for people that are outside of a relationship with Christ, in a way that we begin to direct our lives and orient our lives not only about us growing in Christ, but God using us to make a difference for others? Let's go ahead and look at Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Words are on the screen. You're welcome to look in the pew as well. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When they saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" You know, that this word in Matthew 9:35 is repeating what we looked at in Matthew 4. As Jesus is beginning his ministry in Matthew 4:23, it says that he went out throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, meaning that Christ the King has come and that God is making all things right by establishing his kingdom, bringing healing, bringing salvation, bringing hope, all that we benefit, some of those things we were singing about this morning in that Trading My Sorrows, all of what the kingdom brings for us when we experience a relationship with Christ. Jesus was proclaiming that. But it also says that he went around healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Those exact things, and I think you can see the bold, hopefully, on the screen. But in 9:35, it highlights the same issues that Jesus now, after we've seen him do all these things, this is kind of a summary statement. We had the introduction of what Jesus is going to do, and we've seen it. We've read about the healings. We've read about people's lives being changed as they were delivered, as they were healed, as people came to find their sins forgiven and entered into a relationship with God through Christ. 9:35, this is a summary of that same work, and he says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." What is to come and where we're going to be over the next few weeks is a transition from Jesus doing all of this work to him commissioning the 12 to go and do the same. And we know in Luke 10 and other places in the New Testament that there are places that it doesn't show that Jesus doesn't just send out the 12, he sends out the 72, the disciples. And those that would have first read this text would have understood that when Jesus was sending out the apostles, sending out the disciples, it's a reflection for us and it's an instruction for us to embrace that same mission of being sent by Christ to do the work that he has done. So we know that Jesus is transitioning now to equipping and sending out the workers to do the same work that he was doing. And the reality is that Jesus' work, if you summarize all that down, Jesus was changing lives. He was changing lives, and people that were having encounters with Christ, they were finding forgiveness, they were finding physical healing, they were finding their lives totally and radically changed because of who Jesus was and what he brought them. And God invites us to join him in that work. Are you at a point in your life that you're ready to not only pursue Christ and to grow in your relationship with him, but to let God use you? To let God use you, to just like these 12 that were sent out, to embrace the mission that Christ has for you and let him send you out to do that work. Next week, after Steve and Amanda share a little bit of their own faith stories, we're going to give an abbreviated message on what it means to be sent. But today, we're going to focus on vision that we see that Christ has that is at the heart of why we are sent. Because we can go out and we can try to do the work, but if our hearts aren't connected with the way that Jesus did this ministry, we can be out of touch. Remember Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. We leave Jonah. If you read the story of Jonah, we leave Jonah in that story sitting and sulking because the people of Nineveh came to faith in God and repented. Jonah was obedient eventually, but he was still out of touch with God's heart for lost people. I want to ask you, is your heart beating not only for more of Christ, but is your heart beating for those that don't know Christ? Or is your heart beating to be able to come to a point where in your life that you not only want to grow in your own relationship with him, but you want to offer hope and life and forgiveness to others? John 20:21 makes it very clear that every one of us have been sent, and we have been given that commission. John 20:21 says, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." But he invites us to not only go and to do that work, he invites us to go with the same heart of compassion that he has for the people. I believe that the real issue, when you really reflect and look at the church as a whole in our country today, why more people are not engaged in doing the work that Christ has commissioned us to do, and you can look at seasons in your life, or maybe even right now, that you realize that maybe the reason you're not doing the work that Christ has given you to do is not just an issue of being obedient, it's a heart issue. That you don't share that same passion or same compassion for those that don't yet know Christ. And I want to ask you today, as we look at Christ, are you willing to let God's word challenge you on this? And then if God hasn't given you, if you've not come to a point in your life where you have that heart full of compassion for those that need to know Christ, are you willing to surrender those things that might be keeping you from embracing that passion? What I really want to focus on is in 9:36. We see that Jesus has compassion for the people. And I love the fact that when you read through the New Testament, you see this again and again. That Jesus didn't just heal, he would often do an incredible work, but it would always proceed with this phrase, that he had compassion. That he had compassion for the people. We see it again and again, not every time that Jesus did something, but often throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus did these incredible things out of that heart of compassion. And verse 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." That word for compassion can literally mean to be stirred with feeling. Some of you know, you've been around me long enough to know that if God moves or if I get emotional about something, it just kind of overflows. There are times you may not see me, but I'm pinching my finger if I'm telling certain stories or things, because I know it's just natural for me. But you know, in our life, when we see someone and we understand their situation and begin to understand what they're facing, we begin to have empathy for them. Sometimes we're so removed from people and their lives and their situations that we never allow our hearts to be broken for what they're facing. I remember one of the community ministries that we partnered with in my previous church. We would occasionally take our small group down to serve food. And this was in a very poor section of the community. And I remember being moved with compassion when I saw that some of my son's classmates were in that line to receive food. And just the reality of, this could be me. And not only a gratefulness for what God had given me, but a heart of compassion for the condition of what the people were facing. Jesus wants us, I believe, to share that same compassion. Jesus didn't just do the work of ministry. He had compassion for people. He was stirred with empathy and sympathy for the people and what they were facing. And it says that he described the people. He didn't just see the people and have compassion, but we're given the why. Because Jesus saw them and saw that they were people that were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no direction, no one leading them. That idea of helpless is the idea of being vulnerable. They're without leading. They're without what they need in life. And Jesus looks at it and realizes he offers what they need, and he has compassion for them. You know, I look back to my visit here 2 years ago when I visited. It was opening day of trout season. I remember after being in the city for 15 years, driving from Clearfield for my parents up here to interview with the leadership. I never saw that many pickup trucks in my life as we were driving up here, or at least since I left Clearfield. It was kind of a wake-up call of where God might be calling us. But, you know, I remember we met with the leadership, and then Jim Chapman. And Jim, I know, had a ministry situation he might have to leave for this morning. But Jim afterwards took me out and gave me the tour of Warren. And after a few of the leaders made it clear, don't take them to the mall. That was one instruction they said. But I remember Jim took me up to the cemetery up on the hill. Seemed kind of odd place to go for this initial visit with the leadership. But Jim took me actually to Alan Crone's grave. 2 things that stood out to me. And I think it was a reflection not only in Jim's life, it was a reflection on the leadership that I just met with, was that there was a deep love for Alan and for the impact that he had had in their life and the value of friendship and relationship within this church. But I also saw, as Jim pointed, one of the main reasons he took us up there was the view of the community and seeing the community of Warren. And Jim had tears in his eyes as he talked about the people. The people that don't yet know Christ in this community. You, some of you, I know you share in that passion. You share in a passion to not only grow in your own relationship with Christ, but you want to share that passion and the love of Christ with others. And it moves you. And I am thankful and grateful for those of you that share that passion. But if you're not there yet, if you're at a point where there are other things that are competing for your attention and God doesn't have your heart in that way, I'm going to be praying that God breaks your heart. Not only breaks your heart to a point where you're surrendered and wanting to know him more, but that he would break your heart for people that don't yet know Christ. Yeah, some of you, our prayer list, when we share needs, don't typically ask, say, well, pray that God breaks my heart this week. But, you know, I'm convinced that God has to break us. God has to bring us to a point where that we see people's need and understand that need to a point that it moves us with compassion and love, and that we're offering something that we understand that they need, and we understand it's something that we need and still need. And the only answer, the only thing we can offer this community and the only thing we can offer the world is Christ and a relationship with him. Because all those things we sang about this morning of what Christ offers us is found in a relationship with Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, are we at that point that we're passionate about wanting more of Christ and letting that be known to this community? You know, the reality is the heart of the Christian Missionary Alliance is a passion for Jesus and a passion for lost people. If you read the history of the Alliance, and some of you, if you're considering joining the church, I encourage you to check the membership class coming up in the next week. You know, one of the things we look at is a little bit of the history and the snapshot of who the Alliance is. And the Alliance formed with two clear passions. They wanted to call people to a deeper relationship with Christ where they were passionate about Christ and knowing Christ more, but they also wanted to then take that message of Christ to the world. That's what the Alliance is about. That's what the AND is for, the Christian AND Missionary Alliance. I got to stop standing in that spot. I'm cutting out every time I do. You know, we have to be at that point that we are so passionate about wanting more of Christ that then that there's an overflow with that we want to share it with others. And I want to ask you, are you at that point yet in your own life? Are you at a point where you want to share Christ? I want to ask you first, though, go back to those words that Jesus looked at the crowds And then when he looked at the crowds, he saw their condition, he had compassion. I want to ask you this. What is your attitude toward those that are outside of a relationship with Christ? Often, in the church I grew up in, I learned the scriptures. I learned what it meant to the importance of having a personal relationship with Christ. But sometimes, I would also see a little bit of an attitude that kind of looked down on those that did not yet know Christ. Sometimes it was connected with a legalism, but it was connected in such a way that it was like we were offering a hand down rather than a hand out to someone, recognizing that what we offer is the same thing that we need. I want to ask you today, when you look at the people that in this community that don't know Christ, are you moved with compassion or judgment? Some things we need to remember that I think are so critical. I have a few things on the screen that I just want to challenge you with, and then we're going to watch a clip that I think helps with this. As you share Christ with others, it is critical that we always remember that the people we're trying to impact are not a project. When you share Christ, when you want to share God's love with someone, they're not a project. They're a person who's facing real life, real challenges, real struggles. Some of you are here today and you're saying, well, yeah, that's my life. You're facing all those struggles and you're praying that what we're talking about with Christ is something that could give you hope. When we offer, those of you that have discovered that hope, when you offer it to others, you need to understand that whether they accept or reject anything you share, we need to demonstrate love and compassion to those that need Christ. It's something we do out of the love that God has for us. We share that love with others, whether they accept or reject us, because we understand their need for forgiveness and their need for Christ. We also need to understand that we all have that same need. Some of you have heard me say this quote before. It's one of my favorite quotes in talking about what it means to share our faith by Samuel Shoemaker. He said, evangelism is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. I don't know about you, but I know what Christ has done in my heart and what he's done in my life. And the more I understand who Christ is and what he's done for me, the more I understand that what I offer is the same thing that I personally need. And when we understand that what we offer is what we ourselves need, it keeps us from developing that spiritual pride or arrogance that often turns people away from Christ. I'm convinced most people aren't turned away from Christ. They're turned away from us in how we represent him. And we have to ask ourselves, does Christ have our hearts into where we're passionate about him and that passion overflows, but that we're also there's empathy and compassion for those that have yet to enter into a relationship with him. You know, some of you can very clearly remember your life before Christ. And so it's this very clear line of, I know the mess my life was before I came to Christ, and I'm very grateful for what Christ has done for me. Some of you are here, and you, your entire Christian life, your entire life really has kind of been in the church and in relationship with Christ. And if you're here and you struggle with that sometimes of saying, you know, I don't really have a clear before and after in my life. I've as far as I can remember, I always remember following Christ. And I never had a rebel year I had eighth grade, was closest I got. But you know, one of the things I've realized, I go back to my eighth grade year. And when God got my attention between my eighth grade and freshman year in high school, when God got my attention, I can go back to that moment and try to imagine my life of where I would be today if God would not have gotten my attention and had I not surrendered my life again before my freshman year in high school. And so some of you, you need to imagine, where would you be without Christ, and let that develop a heart of compassion for the people that you're trying to reach and sharing his love with. We're going to watch a video clip, and the video is called An Unspoken Plea. Someone took some creative license and really just tried to encapsulate what some of those outside of the church, outside of a relationship with Christ, might be saying to you and to saying to me. And I just want to encourage you to watch this, and then we're going to wrap up with just a few challenges after that.
be there when I'm broken. And yes, there's something missing in me. There's a burden in my heart that I don't know how to fill. Maybe you have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. Maybe you're that person that I need to know. So I want you to know what you mean. I want you to know what you grow and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine to know that there's something more here than this. This can't be it, really. I think you know that. Listen, I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, regularly, do whatever it takes. Listen, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about the sad verse and show me who it really is.
9:37, Jesus says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest represents all who need God in their life, who are seeking and are struggling, and those people that Jesus sees as harassed and helpless, without a shepherd to lead them. That represents all of humanity that is outside of a relationship with Christ. Jesus wants our eyes, if we stand up and say, I'm in line, I'm willing to serve you, I'm willing to not only follow you, but I want to be used by you to make a difference in this world, starting here where I live. God wants our hearts and our eyes to be on the harvest field, to see and recognize and to share and agree and understand these words that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I love the fact, I always wrestled with this. Jesus' response, instead of just saying, okay, go do the work I've told you to do. He says in verse 38, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But then Jesus goes on, and we're going to pick up next week. Then he goes, okay, now go. Before he sends them, he tells them to pray that the Lord of the harvest, to pray to God that he would send out workers into the harvest. What I believe is that prayer is something that's not just about us trying to convince God to do things for us. Prayer, more importantly, changes us. And I believe Jesus knows this. And Jesus, when he's telling his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, he's trying to take his heart of compassion and let it become the heart of compassion for his apostles and the disciples. Because when we pray, when we begin to pray for people that we know that don't know Christ, that passion in our hearts for those people begins to grow. And I want to ask you today, when is the last time you prayed for someone you know that needs Christ's forgiveness? When is the last time you prayed for someone that you know that it doesn't have the hope of salvation? When is the last time you prayed for not just a family or a friend, a family member or friend, but when is the last time you prayed for someone that you know just needs Jesus? And then pray and ask for God to use you to impact them. I believe as we make that a prayer, God will not only give us more opportunities, but he will begin to increase that passion and that desire within us to not only know Christ, but to let Christ be known to others. Today, as we prepare to leave, we need to remember that Jesus calls us to pray, and then he sends us out. And we can't separate those two things. We have to be in touch with God's heart, not like Jonah. We need to be in touch with God's heart for people that are lost. That phrase, I think it's important that we believe that people outside of a relationship with Christ are lost. That's not the best strategy to tell them. Say, hey, do you know you're lost? And the video captures that, I think, pretty well. We need to have, though, that conviction to say that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me, we have to come to a point that we really believe that, to a point that we understand that if we don't share it, if someone else doesn't share the hope of Christ with a person, that they are lost. And they need to have someone come alongside of them to pick them up, to love them, to care for them, to demonstrate the compassion of Christ to them in a way that will powerfully impact their life. God wants to use you to do that. And I just want to ask you as we prepare to close today, will you commit to pray every day for anyone in your circle of influence, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, pray every day for the people that you know have yet to come to a point of receiving Christ and his forgiveness. Those that you know that they just need Jesus. They need a relationship with him. Make the commitment to pray daily. And write at least three people down that you know you're going to pray for them every day. And ask God to break your heart for those that need Christ. But I also pray that for everyone, every day, that then you look for opportunities to step out. Look for those opportunities to step out and share the hope of Christ and with love and with compassion to those that God puts on your heart. Ask God to give you opportunities to share his love with others. Last August, I think it was, before Eric and Vicky, we sent them out to Senegal. They led us in a song, and I think they may have led it a couple times, but I know they sang it their last Sunday with us. And I remember hearing Vicky share the song called Ocean. Some of you know the song. It's on Family Life a lot. But it talks about taking that step and really kind of stepping out in faith and growing deeper in your relationship with Christ and in the oceans of his love, but also taking risks for him. And what I have found is those two things aren't disconnected. The more you allow God to use you, the more you'll grow in what it means to walk with him in intimacy, because he's already out there working. The question is, are you going to join him? I'm going to pray and ask the worship team to come. And if God has been speaking to you today, the song is, as we lead the song, if you know the words, sing along. If not, listen to the words. And ask God to speak to you as we sing this. And however God is talking to you this morning, I just pray that you would take that step in response. Now, the altar will be open, but you can also talk to me, talk to someone else here, so we can be praying for you as you take a step deeper in your relationship with Christ and a deeper step of obedience with Christ and sharing his mission with a heart of compassion for the world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you not only call us, to follow, but you give us the opportunity to do that in community with others. But Lord, so much of our relationship with you and being used by you is that we have to take a risk. We have to let go of those things that distract us. Let go of those things that are competing passions and Lord, just pursue you with reckless abandon. Lord, to truly love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, I just pray that even now as we close in this service, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to speak to each of our hearts and move us to a point, Lord, that we are passionate, more passionate about you, and Lord, that we are more passionate about those who need you. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit in this moment to speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.